I'm Mark Steiner, and welcome to another segment of On Delmarva. We were covering the State of the State speech that Governor Martin O'Malley gave. And when we were there, of course, I, as everybody else, was taken aback when only taken aback because nobody expected it, when Governor Martin O'Malley said that, I think these are the right quotes, he said, "We must realize where we choose to sleep, eat, and live affects our environment, and it affects our bay. There's one area of reducing pollution where so far we have totally failed. And in fact, it is actually much worse." He urged lawmakers to enact a statewide ban on major housing developments that use septic tanks. So that has caused, obviously, a huge discussion in the state of Maryland, and it deeply affects the eastern shore of Maryland on Delmarva. And so this segment of On Delmarva is devoted to a conversation about that topic. We have with us we're in two studios today. We are working today out of Baltimore rather than Salisbury. So I'm in the Baltimore studios with Richard Hall, who is the Maryland Secretary of Planning. Richard, good to have you with us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
And in our studios at Delmarva Public Radio in Salisbury, Maryland, Tom Horton, who is, of course, our On Delmarva correspondent, environmental writer, grew up in Delmarva and is a professor at the University of Salisbury, and Gail Bartkovich, who is president of the Wicomico County Council and a member of the Wicomico County Planning Commission. And Tom and Gail, welcome. Good to have you with us as well.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, good to be here, Mark.
And Gail, is it Bartkovich? Is how you say it? Bartkovich, right?
That's fine. Bartkovich is fine.
Bartkovich, okay, fine. Just make sure I said it right. So everybody, welcome. And was anybody, maybe you were the only, or maybe the only person on this panel, Tom Hall, who... Richard Hall, who is not, you probably knew this was coming, but I think that, I'm sure you knew this was coming, but Tom and Gail, talk about your immediate reaction when you heard the governor's proclamation about septic tanks. Let me start with you, Gail, and then go to Tom.
Well, I think it's raised some eyebrows and, jaws dropped. Because, for instance, here in Wicomico County, about half of our homes in Wicomico County are on septic systems since the county does not have a sewage treatment plant. And when we have new development in Wicomico County, it is on septic systems. So it is a major concern. It's a major concern in a number of ways. One, to the economy here in Wicomico County, if this should progress to this being implemented, and the impact it'll have on the employment and the businesses in Wicomico County. It's an impact too to the potentially to the choices that individuals have as to where they choose to live in Wicomico County. And the other thing is that's from looking at it from a planning commission aspect at the moment, some concerns. We're in the process of, we just adopted a water and sewer plan. We are working on a draft of our comprehensive plan and how all this is going to impact on some of those documents that we're currently working on.
Tom Horton?
Well, I'm sure the governor has no illusions that this proposal is going to sail through to legislation any time in the near future. But I was pleased that he is staking out a bold position because it puts a water quality point on the whole idea of sprawl that I think has been lacking. All of us greenies can list about 20 reasons why sprawl is bad, and it makes people's eyes glaze over. But it looks to me, and I'll be interested in what Rich Hall has to say, it looks to me like he is trying to kind of put a fine focus on sprawl and say this is a land use that uses a 50-year-old, horrendously outdated, most polluting form of waste disposal, and it's just crazy to keep it going. So I think that's a pretty good entry point to start a discussion of sprawl development.
And take us back a bit, Richard Hall, before we jump into the meat of this debate we're going to have in the state around this issue. I've not read much about what went on before the governor's speech. Clearly, you were involved in conversations with the governor around this issue, or he didn't just spring it on you. So talk a bit about what occurred and why this came up and how it came up and the logic in the argument, the discussion the two of you had.
Sure, glad to. Couple things. One is the link between septic systems, technically referred to as on-site sewage disposal systems, but the type of way that a home, typically a home we're talking about here, disposes of its wastewater outside of planned growth areas where there's an infrastructure like central sewer. That has been an issue in the realm of land use planning and saving the bay, the Chesapeake Bay program, for decades. What has happened, and getting to your question leading up to this governor's State of the State speech, and I think showing a lot of bold leadership on this issue, as we have been working very hard through the governor's Bay Stat process, part of his whole transparency and good information for better government approach, it's become more and more apparent to him and others when you look at the sources of pollution to the bay, whether it's from our pipes, our wastewater treatment plants, which are monitored every day. They're highly regulated, and Maryland has some of the highest performing wastewater treatment plants in the country. You look at that and what we've been doing with agriculture, cover crops, other best management practices, buffers, what have you, and then also looking at stormwater, and there was a lot of debate last year about moving forward on some stormwater management efforts, techniques and such. So when you look at across the spectrum through these based out efforts we have and other analysis and input that the governor gets, it becomes more and more clear that something's been ignored, something that essentially has gotten a free ride when it comes to a pollution source to the bay and to our local rivers and streams. It becomes more and more standing out like a sore thumb. It's the only major source going up, and we've done very little about it. I believe Mr. Horton mentioned 50-year-old technology. That is true. Very little has been done to increase the performance of septic systems. And depending where you are in Maryland, Maryland's a very diverse state, and every local government does something different. But we're still seeing a fair amount of growth on septic systems, especially in certain parts of the state. So those two things come together, land use, smart growth issues, and saving the bay. And this is one of the areas that really hasn't been addressed very well. And looking forward, looking at the next 25 years or so and our bay goals that we want to obtain and then maintain, it even becomes more important.
But you all must have considered this was going to be a political firestorm.
Oh, yes. The governor's aware of that, and it's something that any big step forward, you know, you need to work with the various stakeholders and trying to figure out a way to make it work.
Well, it's a political question. I want to go into some of the environmental questions and also questions about growth and development and the housing industry and all those things that are brought up because of this particular issue when we talk about this. But many people, I can start again with you, Gail, and just all you feel free to have a flowing conversation here. You don't have to just wait for me to call on you if you don't like it. It seems to me that this particular issue is really a way for the state government and the governor to do what Glenn Denning couldn't do with smart growth, that this is more about controlling development. Maybe not more than saving the bay, but it's clearly a lot about controlling development. What do you think, Gail?
Well, I think it is about controlling development. It's also potentially a way to stop development in some of the rural counties in Maryland because of what may be, and again, I'm going to say maybe, because there really aren't any specifics on it. The legislation hasn't been drawn up, so there really isn't any specifics. There's still a lot of questions. But, yeah, there is potential for it to curtail development, at least housing development, residential development. And in Wicomico County, we also have some commercial development on septic systems. We have some schools that have been in existence for, I can't tell you the age of the schools that are on septic systems. So that's, you know, there's some other concerns there. And again, it comes down to, you know, development, commercial development, residential development is not just about employing the people who do septic systems or the people who do the construction. I mean, it has a far-ranging effect on the economy of all the counties, because there are, it feeds to the people who, you know, put in the appliances, put in the electrical, put in the plumbing. So it has potential far-reaching effects on jobs. And, you know, at this state in the economy, I thought the idea was to try to stimulate economy and stimulate jobs and not try to curtail them. And that's one of the concerns that I have. I also happened to sit on the Mako Legislative Committee and was in Annapolis good part of yesterday. There was a lot of information presented to the counties about this issue in our packet. So I know this is going to be a concern and a discussion that's going to be coming up with that group. And, you know, Mako represents all the counties in Maryland.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, what comes out of that. I know there's been a good working relationship with the governor and Mako, with representatives, with the different departments, and I know with Richard Hall's group. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, too, because, you know, all the counties are different. You know, we're not all in one blanket. Can't fit every county.
So, and it's a time, you know, this is when I'm thinking about this. I mean, this is when you take the governor's statements at face value, and you look at communities all across Delmarva and across the state of Maryland, I mean, this is a pretty radical notion. I mean, it turns, for a lot of people, this turns a lot of things on their head. I mean, if this was actually implemented, because it, I mean, as the Harford County planning person said, it affects things like the development, industrial development and educational development, because their community colleges are on septic tanks, and it's, this has pretty wide ranging possibilities if it was implemented in the broad way that would sound like the governor was talking about.
Well, of course, if you want to talk about radical notions, how about 70-80% of all our forest and farmland fair game for housing developments, which is what we got now? I think that's pretty radical too. But yes, in the end of sermon, in the short run, yeah, this is radical. But let's just look at the numbers, and these come from the EPA Bay program. On average, a household that hooks up to a modern sewage treatment plant puts about a pound and a half of nitrogen in the bay, and that's one of the bay's big pollutants. If they hook up to a septic tank, they put about five times that much in the bay. If they hook up, as Maryland now requires in some areas near the water, if they hook up to a state-of-the-art septic tank, and there is a better type of septic tank, they put about 3.5 or 4 pounds of nitrogen in. So clearly, you know, I think the goal here is not to stop development. It's to shift it much, much more onto modern sewage treatment, which will be easier in some places than others. But the numbers make a pretty clear statement. I mean, just imagine if somebody, one of the car makers, said, hey, we can't afford to put pollution controls on our cars, but we want people to keep buying them. Well, no one would even. They'd say, hey, you know, there's a Clean Air Act, get with it or get out of business. We need to start thinking that way about land use.
So how do you respond to that, Gail? And we'll go back to Rich Hall in a minute. But how do you respond to what Tom was just saying?
Well, I think there's another concern too here. You know, is it right for the state to kind of dictate to the counties, you know, what they can do and can't do on a broad term basis? I do understand that this is part of, you know, saving the bay, but we have another piece another document, I'm going to call it, coming up, which is the TMDL issue. And I know there are numbers are not out on all the numbers are not out on that yet. The state hasn't put guidelines together.
Why don't you describe for listeners what TMDL means?
Oh, it's total maximum daily loads. It's how many much nutrients can be put into, my understanding, of water bodies.
Right.
And it's not just the Chesapeake Bay. It's also the tributaries that contribute to the Chesapeake Bay. So there's a lot going on with this, too, which may, in some of those respects, may limit, you know, what can be done without having to put this ban on property owners and on development. And, it's kind of almost as if it's a little premature to try to talk about this because there are too many ifs. still out there. You know, there's the ifs, what the legislation will say. There's the ifs of what the state is proposing with this TMDL document. There was a meeting here at Salisbury University last week. They're planning another meeting for March, but we still don't have guidance. I'm going to use those terms. There's the ifs of how this is going to impact on the comprehensive plans, which a lot of the counties are in the process of updating and still have drafts. So there's a lot of ifs to this, and I wonder if it's just too premature until we have more direct information to really know if this ban will really be necessary that the governor is talking about. You know, and is it really a ban for the nitrogen and the phosphorus, or is it a ban to do what the state has been trying to do for a long time, and that's limit growth in Maryland?
So, Richard Hall, can you answer that question?
Sure. A couple points. One, to be clear, Gail is correct. There's not a bill yet. I think there'll be one out very, very soon. But having said that, my understanding of what's going to come together, it's not a no-growth proposition. It's looking to limit the growth, large subdivisions on in rural areas on septic systems, and hopefully to redirect that towards our growth areas across the state, whether it's Salisbury in Wicomico County or the other municipalities there, or, you know, Cumberland in Western Maryland and the other growth areas in between. Another point I like to make along those lines is when you look at where the supply of developed land is, looking at what the current zoning is, the development regulations across the state, and where growth could go, I could get into a lot of details about this, but simply put, there's enough room, if you will, on the current zoning and yields from the zoning districts across the state in the growth areas to accommodate the 25-year growth, the growth in the next 25 years. I'm not saying it's all going to go in there, but there is that capacity there. Or it could all go outside. So it's a matter of, you know, trying to get more into our growth areas. The other point is this rural versus urban thing. And often when the state tries to put forth advance its smart growth or Bay program policy, sometimes it's cast as an urban versus rural issue. Some of the local governments we looked at as examples for how to handle major growth, not all growth, keep in mind, not all growth, but major developments outside of growth areas were from the Eastern Shore, some of the jurisdictions we looked at and how they handle growth. So that's another key point I wanted to make. And the last one is linking this back to, as Gail mentioned, the total maximum daily loads. And it's the Watershed Implementation Plan. I know we're throwing a lot of acronyms around here, referred to as the WIP by many. That's how Maryland and the Bay states will implement their total maximum daily loads. When you look at that, as a little bit what I was referring to before in the governor's Bay Stat effort, start looking at the numbers that are coming up there, what the situation is now, what we're looking at into the future, and our goals, our caps on nutrient pollution, that all the more drives the desire to do something in this arena. Working closely with local governments, no doubt.
Well, I mean, it seems if we have a situation in the state now, that, at least from what I've been reading, that there are 403,000 septic systems statewide, give or take, and estimating another 145,000 could be built over the next 20 years. Let's say, so what replaces that instead? Let's say you didn't build any more. But you'd still have several hundred thousand leaking septic tanks in the state of Maryland, right? Let's take one at a time. So what do you do about leaking septic tanks? So you say you can't develop, but that stuff is still going in. It costs a lot of money for a homeowner to refurbish a septic tank. This is not an inexpensive thing for a person to have to do. So, I mean, how do we answer that? What is the solution to that before we even talk about no more septic tanks?
Sure. Well, I think one could make a strong argument for this proposal solely on fiscal, on money look at things. As you say, Mark, looking at the over 400,000 systems that are out there now, and what we hear from time to time about failing septic systems and using funds, public dollars, to go retrofit those and run sewer lines or to pay a lot of money on a per dollar basis, we're much, much better off building on the current investment we already have in our existing infrastructure and existing advanced wastewater treatment plants.
So I don't see what that means, though, in terms of
the existing.
How does that resolve what's happening right now?
Well, this specific thing does not. Now, there have been other bills at other times, and there may be one this session as well, to look at the existing systems and upgrading them when they fail, or there have been proposals in the past, and I don't know of any specific one right at the moment, but there may be one to upgrade the systems when the house turns over, when it's sold. This has happened in other areas. When a house is sold, a system needs to be retrofitted. The septic system would be retrofitted at that time.
I think Anne Arundel County did that, didn't they? Has done that for a while.
They have done that
in some areas.
To some degree, yes.
Well, Gail, what do you think it would mean for Wicomico or Worcester or any of the counties around you if there was this it was implemented now in terms of saying no more septic tanks unless they're of a certain kind?
Well, I don't want to speak for the other counties because I'm not that familiar with the other counties. I think one of the concerns that has always been a state concern, too, is affordable housing. And you start implementing regulations that could potentially get quite expensive. And what happens to your affordable housing? That decreases that piece. Another piece, too, at least in Wicomico County, if you tie into a water and sewer, for instance, I'm going to use Salisbury as an example of being the largest municipality, you're required now to annex into the city limits of Salisbury. And that's some piece there that some people don't want to do. They don't want to live in a municipality. They would rather live in the county. So that's one of the requirements that comes in here, and actually the health department has at times with failing septic systems, as long as it's, you know, within a certain reasonable distance, I'll use reasonable, financially reasonable distance, you know, has required some of these homes to hook up to the water and septic system that the city of Salisbury has. And I think it comes down to, you know, still letting private individuals have a choice. We've got farmers here in Wicomico County, one of the things that I've been told is that, you know, if they have a bad season, they need to go borrow money from the bank. They use the value of their land as their collateral with that bank. And in some cases, that collateral does involve the potential, you know, can it be developed? We have farmers in Wicomico County who have, you know, planned down the road to have building lots for their children or other family members. And, you know, I know they're talking about major developments, not small developments, so maybe this may not impact on that. But if you do put a ban on septic systems, again, it's going to go back to the if, you know, what is the legislation going to say, and you know, how is it going to work, and what's going to be the impact to some of these individuals? At least in Wicomico County.
Now, Tom, this to me goes to the, well, I think what Gail Bartkiewicz just brought up goes to the heart of the question. This is the heart of the issue.
Well, you know there is this equity question if you preclude development on rural lands. Now, you know, let me back up a little bit. You know, the big overarching tension, and this is more from a writer's standpoint than someone like Gail who actually has to do things every day. You know, it's your land, it's your property. You can live where you want, you can do what you want, but it is connected to our Chesapeake Bay. And that is the tension. Yeah, it's your property. You can't disconnect what you do on it from our bay, which is in trouble partly because of what we've been doing across our landscape in six states for a long, long time. But, you know, other counties, Calvert County is a good example, have moved way past where most of the shore is on addressing this equity. Calvert County has done tremendous downzoning to reduce the number of homes that can ever be built there without much hoorah from the rural landowners. Why? Because they spent several years developing a very good system of transferable development rights so that when they said, no, Farmer Jones, you can't develop, they also said, you can sell those development rights to someone who's building where we want them to build. And I think if we were to enact or phase in over time a ban on rural septic, you would see most of the counties deal with it by working out some way to transfer equity from the rural landowners to the developers in the developed areas. So I don't – if you tried to do all this tomorrow night, it would be the end of the earth. But if you do it in a reasonable phased-in way, I don't think – I think the earth will go on just fine.
And again, going back to the TDRs, Wicomico County does have a TDR program. It has not worked well in this county. In my time on the Planning Commission, we've had one development use TDRs. It was for two, and it was a family member to a family member because there is a cost involved in TDRs. It's a dollar amount to purchase development rights.
Yeah, you have to get TDRs right. You have to create a market. You can't just let development go on everywhere and have a TDR system. Who will use it? Why would you need to trade when you can develop, you know? So it's easier to say than to do, but many counties across the U.S. have done it. There's plenty of good blueprints, and I think Richard Hall is probably well aware of that.
And we'll get to Richard Hall and everyone else in a minute. We're going to take a very brief break and come back with Secretary of Planning Richard Hall, Tom Horton, you just heard, Gil Barkovich, who's president of the Wicomico County Council. You're listening to On Delmarva. Don't go away. We're talking about the future of our shore. We'll be right back. The Mark Steiner Show is made possible by the Maryland Parkinson's Disease and Movement Disorders Center, providing clinical research trials that evaluate new therapies and the latest treatment options, including surgical intervention for advancing stages of disease. The number for more information is 1-800-492-5538. Hello, I'm Mark Steiner, a host of On Delmarva. Welcome you all back. We are having a conversation about the septic tank issue, which is going to be one of the hottest issues being debated around the state of Maryland, around the our peninsula, and in the halls of Annapolis after Governor Martin O'Malley saying that we need to stop septic tanks building in rural areas. We are here with the Secretary of Planning for the State of Maryland, Richard Hall. We're also, who's in our studios here in Baltimore, and our studios in Salisbury at Delmarva Public Radio, are Tom Horton, our On Delmarva correspondent, of course, environmental writer, author of many books, professor at the University of Salisbury, noted journalist. Gail Barkovich is president of the Wicomico County Council and a member of the Wicomico County Planning Commission. So what would happen if a long-term plan said no more new septic systems to be built, that everything has to be built attached to a town or a city's wastewater plant, so that's the sewage system of an existing town or city. What would happen then?
Well, I guess one of my first questions is the state going to pay for it? in Wicomico County, we cover quite a lot of square footage. I can't tell you the numbers off top of my head. You know, we go from Worcester County over to the Chesapeake Bay. We go from Delaware down to Virginia, so that we do have a lot of acreage and mileage that is not close to a municipality.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be an extreme expense to try to hook up current homes if there was an issue with their septic system to a municipal or to a water and sewer plant. Now, we do have in Wicomico County, we do have two community systems proposed, which MDE has approved. One is built. It is not up and running yet. The second is still not built. Do we start then looking at community systems? Or is that really not feasible for the counties to be responsible for? you know, if this issue continues about the no new septic systems, or if the septic system fails, you've got to hook it up to a municipal system or a wastewater treatment plant. So there's a, as I said, again, there's a, you know, there's a lot of ifs out of there, and don't have answers yet.
Yeah, I mean, clearly, if there are some remote homes or farms, you're not going to run a big sewer several miles across open countryside just to hook them up. You're probably the best you can ever do with those is when their present septic fails, have them put in a new, less polluting septic system, which would be considerable progress. And that's just, you know, one of the many, many complexities that'll have to be worked out. But I'm guessing what you'd see is you would see counties and developers working pretty furiously to figure out how to shift development into areas that could be served by sewer and how to pay for that sewer. You know, the bottom line is development that doesn't pollute the bay is probably never going to be as cheap as development that is allowed to pollute the bay. And you're not going to have development that produces zero pollution. But again, if it's done with a timetable, with a reasonable phase in, you know, it will happen.
Can we get to a world? Should we get to a world where the only development is connected to some town or urban area, Richard?
I'm sorry, Mark. Get to a world where all new developments.
Right. I mean, in some ways, people look at what Martin O'Malley said, and they say that, and they take it to maybe not an extreme, maybe a logical extension. What he said, and what the issue is, the real issue on the table here, besides dealing with the environmental destruction that nitrogen and phosphorus has on our waterways, is to really limit development to urban areas, which is something Glenn Denning tried to do, wasn't very successful at, but that this is really the way. Is this where we're going? Is this what this really means? Is this what the end game is for this administration?
Well, if we want to accommodate growth, and all of us want Maryland to grow, whether it's Wicomico County or Baltimore City or what have you. But if we want to do that in a way that uses the least amount of land per household and is the least polluting per household, then by a wide, wide margin, the best way to do it is to have that growth occur in our existing growth areas, whether they're towns or the growth areas of the counties, served by the infrastructure that is already there. That's not to say that we don't need to continue to work very hard to fund upgrades and improvements to that infrastructure. But just to give you an idea, your average household on a septic system is polluting five times more than your average household on central sewer in Maryland. And that same household is using, if it's outside of the growth area, seven to eight times more land per household than one inside one of our towns in Maryland. So our growth areas, not only towns, they can be unincorporated county growth areas as well. And when you think about that on one house, that might not seem like a big deal, but when you realize that Maryland is projected to grow by 1 million new Marylanders in the next 25 years, so just under 500,000 new households, that really, really matters, whether you're talking about the Wicomico or Nanticoke Rivers down around Wicomico County, or you're talking about the Patapsco River here in Baltimore, and certainly the whole Chesapeake Bay. It matters for our land resource as well, not only the trees, but also our agribusiness, which is very, very important in the state, especially the Lower Shore. So this is all easier said than done, but when you really look at what's an important and responsible fiscal policy for growth, environmental, and for many other reasons we could talk about, we think it's the best way to go. We know it's not going to all go in our growth areas, but we need to do a better job across the state of getting a higher share of it to go to our growth areas.
And Gail, if it's a fact that 7% of all the nitrogen going into the bay comes from the septic systems we're talking about, What would be your solution to this?
What would be my solution to that?
Yeah. Stopping the leakage into our waterways.
But I'm not sure it's all leakage into the waterways from the septic systems. I don't know enough about the technology of them. I know that there have been some changes that are already occurring in Wicomico County as to the type of systems that the Maryland Department of the Environment is permitting in Wicomico County. We're seeing more, for instance, sand mounds. I don't know the impact of the nitrogen coming from those systems versus the traditional systems, which is the trench system. And again, you know, I think the concern is 7% is very small. And the rest of the pollutants are apparently 93%, and I still haven't seen evidence that the other initiatives have decreased that. And I think some of that will show up in when we start seeing these TMDL numbers as to what's happening with the waterways in Wicomico County. And again, the other piece, too, it's not just Maryland that impacts the bay. You know, the tributaries go up, I understand, up into New York State. So, you know, are we making demands on Marylanders because other states are not putting their doing their fair share to help clean up the bay? And I guess that's some of the questions that are still out there too.
Tom?
Well, if you look through the details of these pollution diet plans, as they're popularly called, from Maryland and other states to try to get to a healthy bay by, 2020, what becomes very clear is that although they provide a pretty good start, none of the states in those plans has a clue how they're going to actually get there. It's like you weigh 200 pounds and you got to get to 100 pounds, and you got a pretty good plan to get to 140, 150, and then it gets tough. And that's where we are. So, you know, every percent and half percent and tenth of a percent of pollution is going to and needs to be really scrutinized for how we could do better. Just a couple points, Mark. Yeah. Rich raises an interesting point. You know, it's not just about nitrogen. Sprawl is well documented to raise our taxes. Sprawl development is an inefficient land use, requires a lot more utilities, sheriffs, school buses, so forth. It raises our taxes. It's even if you weren't worried about pollution, it's not the way you want to go. It also takes land away from big industries on the shore, like the chicken people, who need every acre they got to get rid of all that manure. You know, they have said for years that sprawl development, they fear that more than chicken diseases as far as going out of business someday. But here's something I'd be interested in Rich Hall discussing. You know, I put in a system in a rural house 4 or 5 years ago that was not hooked to sewer, was not hooked to septic, and it produces virtually zero pollution. Rich will be familiar with it. It's a composting toilet. I wouldn't be surprised if this ban gets pushed to see developers who are nothing if not creative start wanting to build houses with composting toilets, which are waterless, pretty much zero pollution. That's a double-edged sword, because if you are allowed to develop that way, you can build on a granite rock, you can build over a swamp. There are no limits on where you can build.
That's very interesting. That is interesting. I never thought about that. Richard?
Just for the record, I don't want to say I'm real familiar with Mr. Horton's toilet system. However, I
stop by sometime.
I will do that, Tom. I'll have to check it out.
I am familiar with those types of systems, and some other states have done more with that, and I think Tom and others familiar with the Pineland region in New Jersey, where those are required quite a bit, an important natural area in New Jersey. There's always, a better technique, better technology from time to time. I don't know what the number of those types of composting toilet systems in Maryland, how many there are. I would bet there's very, very few. And with moving forward on this bill or with the Bay program in general, I think you are right. We'll see more of those. Right now, however, this whole sprawl issue is tightly connected with pollution, as we've been talking about here on the show for quite a bit. If, for example, everyone installed one of those composting toilets and the pollution from them was very, very limited, then you would still have the land use issue associated with sprawl and maybe less so of the pollution from the wastewater. But you still have other things that I think you referred to, Tom, with sprawl development that still harm the Bay, more vehicle miles traveled per household, which creates its own pollution that doesn't have anything to do with wastewater, which means more roads, more air pollution that winds up in the Bay, and the extension of services that all sort of have this diffuse but important effect on the environment and the Bay. But we're still nowhere near that level of treatment on any significant level in Maryland with composting toilets.
So Gail Bartkiewicz, I'm really interested in how you see how you see some of this. I mean, on the one hand, what Tom just said about development raises taxes as opposed to because the other side of the argument was, the counties live or die by their property taxes, but it also raises taxes because it costs us more whenever we build more houses in terms of roads and schools and fire and police protection and all the rest. I'm curious how, when you are wrestling with this, how you look at that. I mean, also in terms of the effect on the environment and how you weigh those two things.
Well, I think this again comes down to an issue that has been tried for a long time in the state, and that is to limit sprawl, and whether sprawl is good or sprawl is bad. I think people have to have a choice in where they want to live. We have individuals who've moved here from the Western Shore who chose to live out in the county, have chosen to live in the critical areas, and now all of a sudden they don't want anybody else, living in those areas. So I think some of this also comes down to, personal choices, personal rights, and, should the state be dictating to persons where they should live and how they should live, and that's some of where I see in this. And again, it comes down to, if you do limit development in the rural areas or in the counties, what is going to happen to the individuals, again, in particular, again, going back to the farmers who I understand, do need land to grow. My understanding, Wicomico County, actually our agricultural land has increased. It's about 4,000 acres between 2000 and 2007. So that's a plus side in Wicomico County. But again, it comes down to, what happens if you do prohibit septic systems in the rural areas, what does that do to land equities and land values, and how does government compensate for that? That's a big concern. And also, again, the economy. You choose to limit development, whether it be commercial or residential.
Right.
How does that impact on small businesses and the economy when we're, number one, in a bad state to begin with, and, construction homes has such a far-reaching impact on the economy and on businesses. It's not just the septic people. It's not just the people that put on the roof or put on the siding. It reaches to the plumbers, the electricians, the retail. So it would have a tremendous economic input too, I think, onto what happens in Maryland. And we need to grow businesses. That's the backbone. property taxes are good, but we also need income taxes. We need people spending money. And if you stifle economy and you stifle businesses, you don't have the entrepreneurs out there. You don't have the small businesses growing to hire more people. And it's a revolving what's the word I want? It's a revolving piece that needs to be aided in so that we do improve the economy in Maryland. And I thought that was one of the goals, too, not just to stifle growth.
Tom, I'd like you to weigh in on that.
Well, you know, I'm reminded there's a pretty interesting study that came out recently by a fellow named Eben Fodor, who grew up in Maryland. He's a nationally known land use consultant, and he works from Oregon now, but he's familiar with Maryland. And he recently spent a couple of years looking at 100 metropolitan areas around the country, the larger ones, to see is there a connection between growth and per capita prosperity as measured by per capita income, and found absolutely none. Now, per capita is the key. You know, it's very easy to have a big growth spurt with a lot of people coming in and say that gross revenues have increased, but have they increased per capita? Often not. But, I mean, Fodor's finding, and I think this is something we overlook, is that there you can find just about any story you want. You can find areas with high growth and high per capita income, low growth or no growth and high per capita income, all these combinations. We way too easily make this assumption, often without any real economic analysis, that you got to grow or you're dying. And what he finds, and he's not the first one, is that that's pretty simplistic. So, plus, you know, I know of no reason a builder couldn't make as much money and start as many businesses building things hooked to sewage treatment that then they could build the septic. There's nothing magic about a building on septic. And obviously, this is it would be a big transition and not one that can happen overnight and not one that should happen without a lot of debate because it's always more complicated than you think. But I don't see this as a job killer.
Part of that debate is this a job killer? I mean, you see people in the papers talking about
Well, look, everybody, the environmentalists, all they say is be green and there will be more jobs. The anti-environmentalists, all they say is if you're green, there will be fewer jobs. Everyone's flogging jobs to death because we're jobless now. We're unemployed. It's a hot ticket item. But I think people are being patronized by both sides of the aisle about jobs to some extent. Obviously, it's a huge concern.
So in the long run, let me ask you all three a question. Can you really have growth and a good environment? Some people would argue you can't.
I think there, you know, are still a lot of questions out there into all of this. Obviously, you know, our concern, at least my concern, is for the future of my children and my grandchildren. That's one of the reasons I'm trying to do what I'm doing now and trying to make the best decisions, help make the best decisions, you know, for the future of Wicomico County. I think it all ties in together, and I don't think there are any, any miracle answers at the moment. I think we need to still sit back right now kind of and wait and see what's coming across the bay from Annapolis as far as this legislation. There's too many ifs. I think, again, I'm going to go back to a couple of issues. One, you know, is it about the burden to Maryland? I know Maryland is trying to do a good job and do its part to clean up the bay since, you know, we live on the bay. But I'm not sure it's all, you know, Maryland's fault. And do we start passing laws and legislation when we really need the help of the other states to be a big part of this cleanup? And again, I'm going to go back to, you know, the future is education. The future is jobs for our children. The future is a quality of life. And part of this plays into, you know, this cleaning up the bay piece. And I think those are all big pieces. And, you know, eventually, you know, maybe we'll get it right for them.
Tom, I've heard you speak on this before, and I want to get, and we have about 4 or 5 minutes left. I want to make sure that we also get this thought about Richard Hall. This is my point of question. Can you have both, and what's the most important?
Well, very briefly, if you just said that a prosperous economy and a clean environment are mutually exclusive, where would that leave us? I mean, I just think we have to assume that they're not mutually exclusive, and there's lots of evidence to show that. That would be a heck of a way to proceed, and I couldn't subscribe to that. So, the growth thing, yeah, growth is pretty good up to a point, and maybe even past that it doesn't hurt you too bad, and then there comes a point where you really can't get ahead of the curve. And there are lots of examples of that on the Western Shore, like the Patuxent River, which has gotten more attention and money than any waterway in the entire Bay watershed, and still is pretty badly polluted. And perhaps part of the reason is population has increased about 16-fold on the Patuxent since the 60s. Hard to stay ahead of a curve like that. So at some point, and I think we're probably at that point, you do have to start questioning growth and how to build an economy that's not dependent on physically expanding. But that's another show, perhaps.
Maybe that'll be part two of this conversation, Richard Hall.
Well, thank you. As far as a choice between a clean bay and a healthy economy, come as no surprise to you. I think that's a false choice. I think we can have both, and not to oversimplify, but I think it's our only path forward, and that's smart and sustainable growth. You heard me say earlier in this show that this bill is not a no-jobs bill by any means. Ideally, you could have, well, not even ideally, this house that would be built on septic can go inside our existing growth areas. And again, this bill will be oriented towards major development, not all development, on septic systems. Gail is correct that there's not a bill out yet, so we can't get into the details. But generally, that's my understanding of what it'll be looking at.
Who's writing this bill?
Well, there's a couple of legislators that may be introducing it. We'll know within a couple of days. That's all getting settled. Certainly, the governor's very interested in this issue, but it looks like there's going to be some discussion between the governor and several legislators, and how it gets in, it's really the details. But it's quite clear there will be a bill along the lines of which we've been discussing today. So I really do think for a whole bunch of reasons, and the Bay is one of the most important ones, but there is a path forward when we can have viable communities and main streets and suburbs at the same and preserve our rural lands for agribusiness and for the environment and recreation, and still do that in a way where we're protecting what's very important to Marylanders. And we have to make a decision if we're going to do that. It's going to be hard. Some people can get upset, but I think it's doable. And that is to have smart and sustainable growth served by, in this instance, advanced wastewater, which is treatment plants, which the state's been working very hard on. And the other path is, I don't think, going to be acceptable to people, and that's, a lot of rural sprawl, consuming our rural lands and polluting our local rivers, streams, and ultimately the Bay.
So we'll have to have round two. Secretary of Planning, Richard Hall, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
President Gail Barkovich, Wicomico County Council, thank you so much for taking your time with us today.
My pleasure.
Look forward to our meeting in person.
Yes, we've never met.
But we will.
I don't think.
We will.
Good. Thank you. I appreciate that.
And Tom Horton, always a pleasure to have you with us, and thanks for all you're doing here for On Delmarva.
Thank you, Mark.
And we want to thank Chris Rank over at Delmarva Public Radio for engineering on his end, and of course our producer here, Justin Levy, for engineering on our end. I'm Mark Steiner for On Delmarva. Thank you all so much for listening.